So we're starting as now we took a little break in Elul from the Inyanim of Choshen Mishpat business. Now we're going to go back and start into those Inyanim. So I decided to learn a sugya, which is very nageya, business, but also on a personal level, teach individual person. And that's the halachas of Dina de Malchusa Dina, which means that the law of the land, you have to follow the law of the land. Now, this is a term which is used a lot, and people don't necessarily know the application for which it's used. Like, there was a story that there was a Rav that was going in. I just heard he was going on a plane, and he saw this Reform rabbi on the plane, and he goes over to him, and he says, well, how do you allow? This was like still early, like when they still, you know, had a cheshbon for what there was going on. So, like in the 60s, 70s, so he says, how do you allow the women to go and just get divorced civilly, and you don't even require a get, and they can get remarried, you're making mamzerim. So he said, well, you never heard of Dina de Malchusa Dina? A civil divorce is a divorce. So he said, what are you talking about? So he says, well, then why don't you allow them to have so why do you have to have a Siddur Kedushin for? So just let them get married civilly. He says, no. Kiddushin, you have to make a bracha. Bracha, you have to make it. You have to have a rabbi serve. You have to have a rabbi watch that over. But yeah, so
that's the real answer.
Al kaponim. So it's a very dangerous. It's dangerous. Back then at least. So al kaponim, dinah de Malchusa Dina has to be understood. What are the gedarim of it, and when is it said? Okay. Now, where is this nageah? It's nageah in many different areas for us to understand on a personal level. Which is the number one question is people always ask, you know, the people want to know is about taxes. You know, exactly how to follow through with taxes halachically. You know, what's a person obligated to do? Follow exactly the law. How exactly does that come out halachically? Of course, I'm not giving any etzas over here. I'm just saying halachically, how does the halacha treat, you know, dealing with their taxes, and we have our local lawyers and our accountants here. So
we'll be more than happy to give you advice.
And second of all, it comes up in other areas where, for example, someone just asked me. He's a real estate agent, and the licensed realtors. The law is, or the understanding is, I don't know if it's a law. It's from the, you know, the people that you get your license from, but the bottom line is a non-licensed realtor is not allowed to get any commission on a real estate transaction. So that means, let's say someone refers you a deal, and now, you know, you're going to get a 10% commission. You're going to get a $30,000 commission, and this guy that referred you the deal, he wants a kickback from your commission. So you're not allowed to give him a kickback. You're not allowed to give him a commission on a real estate transaction if he's not licensed. So the question is,
sharing. If somebody refers it to you, right, and then wants to share the commission, right, with you,
he can't do that.
He can't do that.
He's not allowed to do that either.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He's not allowed to get
legally.
What?
Do it.
Right. So the question is, you know, what? How does the halacha view these type of things? Where it's just between me and him, and no one else has to know about it. They're not even paying taxes to the government. It's just, you know, me and him, whatever. So these type of cases, people always ask all the time, is you know, what's the halacha on these cases? Besides being honest, you know, obviously, anything has to do with not being honest. I'm just saying, what? How does the halacha view these cases of Dina de Malchusa Dina? So it comes up. Obviously, it's very nageah, and there's going to be a lot of shittas in the Rishonim as we go through. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to spend a couple weeks, probably this week, next week, maybe in the following, going through the sugya. There's four or five gemaras, and there's a lot of Rishonim about it. And then we'll get into the halach lemaisa, the tshuvas, and all the things that deal with the halach lemaisa, how it plays out. So it's very interesting, and it's a good sugya. Now, lemaisa, just to understand, first of all, what type of halach is this? Dina de Malchusa Dina. So we have to follow the law of the land. If the law of the land is, let's say, with taxes, so you have to pay the tax, and not only you have to pay the tax, the Gemara says that let's say there's one person that's delinquent in his taxes, and the king made up a law that whoever pays the property tax, he's considered the owner on the property. So if you come in, this guy's delinquent a couple years on his taxes, you come in, you pay the bill, it's considered your property now. Right. So what do you mean? Why isn't that gezel? Halachically, that's not true. He owns the property halachically. So how can it be that it's not gezel? It should be considered gezel if you're taking something which doesn't belong to you halachically. So what's the mechanics? How does the halacha? How do we understand that? Why is dina d'machus dina? Why do you have to follow it? It's a nice thing, you know. It's a karsa tov. You're supposed to be part a good citizen. What's the pashup shot? So there's two main reasons given in the Rishonim. One is we have here. So we may as well look at that one inside, which is on page 2, on the sheet. And it's the Rashbam on page 2. And we'll see that it makes a big difference what the reason is, maybe. Page 2 on the sheet, it's the Rashbam. So it's on the left column, and it's in the middle lines, not the widest lines, in the middle lines, towards the end of the line, like let's say 10 lines up from the, in those middle lines. Ha'amar Shmuel dina d'machus adina. Right here. I don't know if anyone has it. Right here on the page. Dina d'machus adina in the Rashbam. So the Rashbam says, Kol misim... What? Yeah. Kol misim va'arnoinios umin hagois. So any taxes. Misim is taxes. Arnoinios is type of tax. Umin hagois shalmish. What? Property. A property tax. Umin hagois shalmishpatei amalachim. Or any type of hanhaga that they do. Shiragilim lahanig b'malchusam. That is accustomed to do in the malchus. Dinahu. It's a halacha that you have to follow. Shekol b'nei. Why? So the Rashbam explains. Shekol b'nei hamalchus mikablum aleim mertsoinam chukei hamelech. Because the understanding amongst the people that live there is that we're all going to keep the law of the land. Because if we don't, it's going to be havoc. So therefore, there's an understanding. It's like a tanai.
Consent.
We've all consented to follow whatever that central governing authority tells us. We've decided that we're going to keep it together. And therefore, if you take over a piece of property or some sort of mammon based on the law of the land, it's not gezel. It's not considered gezel because there's an understanding that we when we move in, it's like we're making an understanding that just like I would want you to follow the law on my property, I'm going to be willing to follow the law on my property. So if the law is that you're allowed to take it, so that's the law of the land, and that's according to the Rashbam, it's like a das. It's a das, a consent, and we all get together. Like you have a homeowners association. Everyone living in that area is gonna agree, rules. Consented to go, yeah. Consents to go with those rules. Yeah, but davar shabim mamun to no kayim, so it works. What? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can't make a get with a yochazadina. Yeah. Now, when it goes up keneged beferish the din Torah, they have to know. For example, where that comes very nogeya is Yerusha. Is inheritance law, where according to the halacha, a daughter doesn't get any Yerusha, only the sons. So Dina de Machusa, she's going to take to court and say, I want whatever, half the inheritance. And the halacha is, no, the son gets it. So now, you know, again, so she's going to, oh, Dina de Machusa, Dina, the Yerusha goes to me, and it's Davar Shem B'Mamoin. So, you know, so we'll have to see. There's a Shuv and the Rashba about this, and there's other halachas.
When someone gets divorced, you're supposed to pay, the man's supposed to pay 200 Jews. Let's say the woman's the moneymaker.
Okay, well...
Maybe the woman's the breadwinner. Yeah. The man doesn't work. He doesn't have a penny to his name.
But that's not only Dina Machusa. Then you signed a ksuva.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
But that's not Dina Machusa.
But now the man says he wants 50%. So he's not going to pay her anything.
Why? Because Dina Machusa, he gets that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. And a chanami, right. But, I don't know what the Dina Nuchus is there, but in the Chanami, okay, so all these type of things, where there's a Seder, there's a clear Seder in how it works in the Halacha, so you go and connect, that's another Shiloh, you go and connect it. By the way, there's another whole, okay, now, there's one, and then there's a Ran. The Ran says another Pshat in Dina the Machus
Adina. Is this representing something that could be publicly outspoken, like let's say, you know, in history by the Boston Tea Party, right? Where they clearly are saying, we don't agree with these taxes. So then you don't say that everyone has a ruckus to go along with it?
We're saying it's accepted among society to leave.
What? So leave, right. Meaning, Lamaisa, you don't like it, so you hope he changes. Okay, so let me say the Ran. So let's say the Ran. So the Ran says... Okay, so I have an interesting... So the Ran says, the Ran in the Darim, Chavches, says like this. It's not in your books, but I'll read you the Lashon. The Ran in the Darim says a different logic for this halacha. The Ran in the Darim says that since the Melech owns the land, he says, Mipnei Shaharetz Shaloi, the Yochol Loimer Lam Im Loi Tasu Mitzvasi Egarish Aschem Min Aretz. That back in those days, the king literally owned the land. He was his land. You don't want to live here? Get out of here. And he's making it tonight. You want to live on the land? These are the conditions by which you have to abide to live in the land. So now, Lamaisa, nowadays where it's a democracy,
right,
you don't have that. So the question is, it could be totally different. Now, according to the Ran, that's not true, necessarily. You know, you own property. It's not like, you know, in other places maybe they give out the land, a parcel of land here, whatever. Here you own the land, you know, or whatever it is. So who are they to take property taxes? You know, they can't just come in and say one day the government will come in, I want your, you know, they have to pay you if they want it. They can't just, even
here the government can take your property out.
They have to pay you.
They
have to pay you.
If you owe taxes, they
no, but they have to pay you.
They still have more rights than
I. No, that's like a shibud. It's like a lien.
It's a lien.
They have to pay you. Say it's very different. No.
What do you know? I can buy you a without rights. Eminent domain.
Okay, but anyway, Lamaisa, but they have to pay you. They can't confiscate your land.
No, they can force you to sell it.
That's correct.
That's correct.
But they don't. Just because they have the ability to do it, because they have a stronger army, it doesn't mean that they own the land.
And the kings that they're giving out the parcels of land to the what are they called? The work. Yeah, whatever. Right. What? No, there's no private landowners, really.
The state of Israel?
Right, exactly. So.
State of Israel, mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the state of Israel. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Let's stop there, because the Ran says that.
Complicated.
He said, he said, by Malchi Yisrael, he says, it's not like that, because Eretz Yisrael Be'etzim belongs to everybody. So
everybody,
who are they? Who is anybody to say? He says, Malchi Yisrael, even a Melech, a Malchi Yisrael doesn't have necessarily dina de mechus adina, according to the Ran, because the Melech can't say, I own the land. The land is, look in Yeshua and you'll see who owns the land. I'm from Shevet Asher, and I want to have land in Tiberia, so it's mine. So it's not so, according to the Ran, it wouldn't be so simple. Anyway, but the Maisa, democracy could be a big nafkamina between the Ran and the Rashbam. Because if you go with the Ran's logic, so. I don't know if a democracy has that, the Shlodin, but if you go with the Rashbam, Fakir, it has it even more, because they voted to put this guy in. You don't like it, that's your problem.
Right.
But Maisa, the Roiv of the people got together, and the Miyad is bottled to the Roiv, and voted in a person, and now it means everyone's agreeing to whatever's going on over there. Now, so therefore the... those would be that would be the logic behind the Allah. Okay, now...
One question. Yeah, but... Rashbam, if you live in a land like the Rashbam, when there was a king that owned it, because the Rashbam, the Lumi didn't want.
No, he owns the land, I understand.
But the Rashbam, you own the land when they don't own it. You live in a monarchy, where the king really owns the land. The case with the Ran here. According to the Rashbam, you wouldn't have the
land. Why? I'm still living here. I'll deny that I'm agreeing, otherwise I would leave. Why do I want to be here?
Well, that's the point, that you would just go somewhere else.
Yeah, why am I here? I'm here because I understand that there's a certain...
You made it sound like because everyone wanted voluntary acceptance.
Every person that's moving in is moving in. I'll tie.
You didn't say it because you, it's because everyone accepted.
Okay, I don't think he means a democracy. There's no such thing.
If a king has it, there's no democracy. Kings is by living.
Fine.
Kolben and Malchus.
Now let's go into the sugya a little bit. So the Kolben and Malchus, because it's true, but it could be individually. No, because you're dealing with multiple people. But so let's. The Gemara says like this. There's a couple Gemaras. We'll try to get to this one for now. This is the very important. This is the main one. So the Gemara says the Mishnah in Gittin. Daf Yud, the Oyelam probably saw it already. It says like this. We'll try to do it quickly. It says, Kol Ashtaris Ha'Oyelam Ba'Arkoyis Shalev Dekachavim. Arkoyis is a court, let's just call it a court for argument's sake. So any shtar which is legally binding in a court of Avdekachavim, so they have the non-Jewish witnesses. It's signed and set up by a legal court, but it's not signed according to kosher Eidim. So therefore, you would think it's not a good shtar. It's not binding for me. You know, we have to have kosher aid, and we have a certain halachas how we write shtaris. And this is a legal document with legal witnesses, but they're not Jewish and they're not kosher. So zok the Mishnah, afal pisha chasmein of the kachavim, even though it's non-Jewish avadim aidim ksherim, it's a kosher shtar. Chutz, except for gitei noshim v'shichuri avadim, except for a get isha and a shichur avadim. Why? So the simple understanding is because a get isha is unique because a get is a religious, it has a nafkaminas in halacha. It's not just a monetary transaction. A get is divorcing the woman, it's being matur l'chol adam. A shikhar also is turning the eved from an eved into a Yisrael. After he's mishukhar, after he's freed, he becomes a Jew. He's chayv in all mitzvahs. And therefore, those two stars are different than a regular monetary star, and that has to be done in a Jewish bezdin with Jewish eidim, etc. Okay, so that's the Mishnah, leaving the end of the Mishnah. So the Gemara sounds like this. No, just to be makdim, the Gemara, a partial thing, but there's two types of shtaras. There's something called a shtar raya, and there's something called a shtar kinyan. A shtar raya means that there's a certain transaction that happens, and you need proof to show that the transaction happened. So for example, a sale. The sale is done, and the sale maybe is executed with the money, the transaction, or the kinyan. And now you just want to record it in court, or it wants to be recorded, and you want to have proof that it's yours, a deed.
Right.
So that's one type of document. There's another type of document that you're actually executing the transaction with the document. So obviously a get is like that. The whole get is happening but also the Gemara is going to say an example of a shtar matana. Let's say I want to give you a gift. The gift is not here. The gift is somewhere else, a piece of property. I want to gift it over to you. You're not there to make a kinyan. I can't give you money for it because it's for free. And you're not there to make a kinyan on it. So how do I give you the gift? So I could write a shtar and say, I hereby am giving a matana of this property to you and give you the shtar, and the shtar makes the kinyan. Okay, so that's called the shtar kinyan. It's making the transaction happen. It's executing the transaction. It's a transaction through the shtar. Whereas there's another thing called the shtar raya. So now the Gemara starts off and says like this: Gemara kapasik v'tani lo yishno mecher lo yishno matano. It sounds like kol hashtaris. It sounds like there's a blanket statement here. All shtaris are kosher if they're made in a non-Jewish court. Whether it's a shtar mecher, which is only a raya, or a shtar matano, which is a kinyan. Bishlama mecher, I understand that a shtar mecher would be good michiyoiv zuzi kamayu have hudakana, because really the transaction is executed with the transfer of the funds. Vishtar raya ba'almo, and their shtar is just a raya, so the shtar raya you can have as long as everyone believes is the court good. The ilo yav zuzi kamayu, because if it wouldn't be if the sale would not have happened, lava mari nafshayu, they wouldn't lose their reputation over this little transaction. So the assumption is that everyone trusts what's going on and what's written in the legally recognized shtar is accurate, so it's a good raya. The kasson lashtara el matana, but a matana but my kani lav b'hai shtara chasba ba'almahu. How could you say a shtar matana is good? The transaction can't be executed with the shtar. The shtar is just a piece of paper. It's not a shtar kinyan. There's no kinyan happening here in halacha. How can the halacha recognize the shtar which is signed by not kosher aid? Here's the Gemara's question. Okay, so Gemara says two answers on this. Okay, and these two answers are the side for basically all the Rishonim that deal with these, with this sugya, deal with these two answers. So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Dina de Malchusa Dina. So Shmuel says, Dina de Malchusa Dina says that it's considered halachically a good shtar. Halachically, it's a good, why? Since the Malchus says that anyone that does a transaction with this shtar is good, so therefore, halachically, we also recognize the shtar. We recognize this shtar as a good shtar, and and that transaction could be executed with this, based on this shtar. By the way, the Tosfos Rid over here seems to say a little kinach different, is that since the dinat machusa is that these people are kosher witnesses, so memela we treat them like kosher witnesses, and memela even halachically it's a good shtar.
Yeah.
It's a little different kinach. In other words, the pashup shot is it's not a good shtar halachically, but the transaction is anyway because dinat machusa dinat.
Yeah.
Now the next. The Ibais Ema says like this, V'Ibais Ema, but you could say a little differently, Tani, say in the Mishnah that it says, Every shtar except for Gitei Nashim means Chutz Miki Gitei Nashim. Anything which is like a get. What's similar about a get? Anything which the shtar is what makes the kinyan. Just like a get, the shtar makes the kinyan, a shtar matana makes the kinyan, and on that type of shtar, it's takapasal. So the Gemara ends up saying over here, two answers. Is a shtar matana good or not? Depends. The first shita says, like Shmuel, dina de machusa dina, legally it's a good shtar, and therefore it's good to make a kinyan. The second tarot says, no, a shtar matana would not be good because it's a kinyan. You can't make a kinyan with a goyish shtar. Okay, clear? So far? Good. So the question is that all the Rishonim ask a very important question on this, which is that it seems like we paskin dina de machusa dina. We paskin like that. But whenever there's an Ibayis Ema, we paskin like the second Ibayis Ema. We paskin like the Maskana of the Gemara. So it means we paskin that a shtar matana would not be good.
Right.
So what happened to Dina de Malchus? Is the Ibai Seima arguing on the first teretz? There's two teretz in the Gemara. One teretz says, oh, Dina de Malchus, Dina, it's legally is it considered a good star, it's kosher. The second teretz, no, it's not good because it makes a kinyan. What's saying? What happened to Dina de Malchus, Dina? Is the second teretz arguing with Dina de Malchus, Dina? Is the second teretz saying, we don't hold of Dina de Malchus, Dina, but then halacha, we pass in Dina de Malchus, Dina, but we also pass in like this. It's a big problem. What's going on over here? Is there a machloikis between the two tirutzim? If we go with the second Ibayis Eima that says that Ashtar Matana, that Ashtar that executes the Kenyan is not kosher, is that because we don't hold of Dina de Machus Adina?
Except for this, excluding.
Where
Gitin Ashim
was an exception. No, Gitin Ashim was an
exception. Or is it because we don't hold of Dina de Machus altogether?
For those particular.
Gitin Ashim is not subject to Dina Machus, like we started off the story.
That's the point.
No. Why not? Matana is a monetary transaction. Why shouldn't it be included in Dina Machus? And Shmuel said it. No, it's Kinyan Din Ashim Lagabe that it's a
where the star is the vehicle.
Okay, but Lamais in the first teretz said Dina de Machus on that. So why is the second teretz not? No, even the first teretz didn't say Dina de Machus for a get. So the question is, why? What's the second teretz arguing with the first teretz? Why does the second teretz, is the second teretz now all of a sudden retracted? We don't hold the Dina de Machus at all? Or is there something else in there that. Right, seemingly the Pashup shot would be, there's Machus, where they see Dina de Machus. So you could walk away from this Gemara. Dina de Machus is a nice concept. It's a half a min in the Gemara.
Some people disagree.
And we pass like the second teretz. So therefore, we could walk away saying,
no taxes.
And that's being recorded, so careful. But we could walk away saying that there's Dina de Malchus Adina, and there's no Dina de Malchus Adina. Second teretz of the Gemara says we don't paskin like that. So this is a big problem, especially because there's a whole bunch of Gemaras all over Shas that do say Dina de Malchus Adina. Okay? So this is the big question that the Rishonim deal with. Okay? Now, what I'll do is now is, I'll just, there's four Mahalchim in the Rishonim to answer this question.
Only four.
I'm missing it, but what's the connection between the shtar and the application, let's say, in the context of taxes or others?
No. It's not directly related, but the point is just like you have to follow the law of the land regarding taxes. Right? That concept, that's called Dina de Malchus Adina. So if there's another law, the government enacted a law that says that these documents are valid. So therefore you can't now decide, no, it's not a valid document. I have to follow the law of the land. The law of the land says that this document is valid. So therefore if the law of the land says that the document is valid, halakhically we should recognize that. So now the Gemara says, though, that's only if the shtar is a raya, is a proof to what happened. You know, it's just trying to record it in court, but it's not really doing anything. Fine, that's okay. But what about if the shtar is making a kinyan, like a matana? You're giving a gift through this document. So halachically, do I have to recognize that? The law of the land says that it's gifted over. But legal, halachically, it's not gifted over because this shtar is not valid halachically.
How do we extrapolate from that? To other situations.
No, because it's the same concept. Let's say we explain that the concept why you would have to pay taxes is because everyone has agreed to follow the law of the land. So that means that's the underlying assumption of people when they move in that they're going to follow the law of the land. So that would apply to anything. That would apply to documents also. That would apply to any way that they say, you know, if it's gifted over legally in court, it's gifted over. So Allah has to recognize that. It's the same concept as halacha recognizes the right of the king to charge taxes.
Well, whether or not you can paint your house yellow in a community.
I don't know about that. That's very different.
If the rule of...
Right, we have to talk about that. Zoning and those type of things. How does that come in?
You say my religion...
You must have impact-proof glass. I'm sorry, but if we're going to put him in, he's going to charge you for it. You're going to have to go along with it.
It's not a problem. This is a really big
problem.
Yeah, it does. It's very important. So, well... Okay, so what...
We say that the document is binding. We're saying you have to pay that.
They're all under the general umbrella of now there's a couple other Gemaras that deal with Dina Malchus Adina. Next week I want to go over the Gemaras, but now I want to just tell you briefly the Mahalchim the Rishonim to address this question. The second teretz of the Gemara that says that Shtar Matan is not good, is it because they argue in Dina Malchusa or not. And with this, we'll introduce a little bit some of the concepts of Dina de Mechusadina. And I think it's good to just hear them once, and then we'll chazer it again. But the more we hear it, it will be better. So it's on page 5, is the Ritva. Is the Chidusha Ritva. So the Ritva, and you see I wrote down over there that there's 4 shittas in the Ritva, and I tried to mark off where they are. So the Ritva says the following. So he explains the Gemara means any shtar where the shtar is executing the final kinyan. Number one, that means this is the first mahalach. Number one, one of four. Yesh Oimer, some say, Tahani Trei Lishni, these two in Lashonis in the Gemara, Pligi, they arguing the Lishna Kama Dainu Lishmuel Shtamatana Anasam Akar Shogayim Kasham Dina the Machusa, or Lishna Baasa Afilu Echadika Harmanu the Machusa, that even when there's a Dina the Machusa, it doesn't help. So it's there's a Machlokes.
End
the story. Second Mahalach. I mean, you could say that maybe one is related to the other ones, but anyway, second Machlokes. Second shita, ikamand mafarsh, but there's some that say, and this is a shita of the Ramban, a lot of Rishonim, the Ramban, a lot of Rishonim, the loy pligi. There's no machlokes here. Ela de Shmuel kai heicha de ika harman of the malchusa. That the first text of the Gemara is going that the law of the land discussed this question, this issue. The law, the land has a law regarding the legality of documents. So therefore, since they made a legal system for documents, we have to follow it. The second text says it's not good. That they're talking about a case that they never discussed this particular issue, government. If you can make a kingdom with a shtar. So therefore, there's no such government law about it. So therefore, that's why it's just saying an alternative answer. If there's no government law about it, then it won't work. But it's not arguing about the concept of Dina de Machusa Dina. So this is like an interesting answer because
had they made it a government law, then it would they would also
This is the Ramban, a lot of Rishonim. Of course we hold Dina de Machusa Dina, and of course where the law of the land would say this is a valid document and the Kenyan is valid, it's gifted over through this document, halachically we would have to recognize that. So for example, if I write you a document that says that this is gifted over, Now I want to go, you know what?
I'm changing my mind.
Right. So according to the first teretz, we could decide, no, I don't want it. But according to this, what the Ramban is saying, no, since the law of the land recognizes that shtar and says, no, it's considered gifted over, we have to follow that. Okay? So according to this second teretz, the Ramban, there's no machlokes, basically. It's just talking about a different case.
Right.
Okay? Now, here comes number 3 and 4, which are... What they basically say is, the basic setup is that really Dina de Machusa applies in all cases. But there's limitations to Dina de Machusa that would tell us that in this case it doesn't apply.
There are exceptions.
It doesn't apply every case. V'yesh Oimer. Now this is the shita brought down in the Ramban. Also, in the Magen Mishnah we'll see others. Shela Amru Dina de Machusa Dina Ela B'dvar M'sheish Bahem To'elas L'melech. Only things which directly benefit the king. Which is the next Gemara we didn't learn yet. That Malka Amar Lelikni Inish Ara Elabigata. There was a law apparently that you could only be kind of property if it's legally, if it's done in the legal court system. You can't just go to your friend and buy. You have to record it. So why is that good for the king? Because he makes a sales tax. So he doesn't want you to avoid and just. So anytime that there's a benefit for the king, then you have to follow the law of the land. But between me and you, we could care less if it's gifted this way, gifted that way. He cares if you own the property, I own the property. It makes no difference to him. Right. So something which makes no difference to the melech, there's no din of din of the machus dinah. So for this shtar matana, he doesn't care if you gifted over your car, or you didn't gift over your car. What does he care? And therefore, since it doesn't make a difference, you don't have to follow. So this is a big limitation on a din of the machus dinah. It means it only affects. It's not social things. It's only things which directly affect the malchus. So, for example, what you said, zoning laws. What does the king care if you paint your house white? Okay, so the municipality wants it to look nice, but that's just between me and my neighbors.
What about a condo?
Have no right, according to this, to have dina. I don't have to follow the dina de malchus on that because it doesn't affect the malchus directly. Why do they want us in way?
Miami-Dade County has this law.
No,
they only
want it that way because the neighbors want it that way.
They want it that way because people live together in harmony.
Okay, fine, but it doesn't make a difference. No, the tells for Malchus means that he's getting something out of this transaction.
Right. He's defining.
You couldn't care less if you pay your house yellow.
Taxes.
Even if he's getting like taxes.
Right.
Or,
yeah, but the fact is that
to get approved for a color in a zoning, you have to pay money, and they make money off giving all these rules of zoning.
And they'll make money if you don't obey the rules.
You have to go get inspections. You have to pay money for the inspections. They make money off that.
That's, I know, we said, is democracy not to, how far
today
does it go? Does it go local?
Right.
The civil rules is set up.
We have civil, we have city, we have state, we have county.
No, for example, if you have a place that is very high property tax, a very expensive place, so they want it to look a certain way. I hear, why do they want to look a certain way? Because all the neighbors want to live there because it's hot. So it's really not to benefit the machlitz, it's to benefit the neighbors that are living there.
Why?
It's to benefit the people.
To change a family, you have to get a permit tax.
But the neighbors
are benefiting, you have to pay for that. So why is that not benefiting? Why is that not to all of us?
No, I'm saying, what?
The law is about stealing. I can't steal, right? The king doesn't benefit directly from it.
What, if you're stealing from the other guy?
Yeah. So I'm allowed to steal?
No, I'm saying, if you're stealing from the government, it's a different issue.
Why can't I steal from my neighbor?
That's a different issue. No, I mean, Dina de Machus Adina, according to this Teretz, is only where there's a
difference. Dina de Machus Adina is stealing.
Exactly.
The government is going to prosecute you, not your Rebbe. It's a question of whether Benzin's going to enforce. If you steal from somebody else, the Malchus is going to punish you.
I'm just saying. Obviously, we're not saying that you should. I mean, it's a question, is halachically also, is there a problem? You know, it's obviously legally there may be an issue.
Fine, but that, that's a separate.
Yeah, I understand.
By speed and traffic?
No, exactly. It's not, according to this.
According to this,
Dina Mechusa basically means taxes or transactions that have to be processed in court that they benefit
fees,
from that, and fees, things that go directly. Social and social laws and stuff like that, which really is they're in charge of making it that the neighbors will behave one with another.
Yeah, but
that's not for them. That's really for the tales of the citizens. So therefore, they don't have to listen to that.
Yeah, but you don't have that. You don't want to live there.
Okay, that's very indirect.
So it has to be direct.
Yeah.
Financial direct.
Basically, financially directly benefiting them. If they have a fee. He says that the reason why you have to, if there's a law that it's only called, the transaction is only final if it's recorded in court, that's because they get a recording fee. You know? So now, you're right. Now, Lemaisa, if you do something, let's say a building without a permit, so the truth is they're getting fees for that.
Right.
So that could be different. Now you have to know, is the Malchus the federal government? Is it the local government?
Well, that's the question. That was, can a small state
fine.
Or city or
that's a Lachal Amayis question. Fine. But I'm just saying they study this for now. Okay, now then he goes on the next page, number four, where it says number four. This is very interesting now also. V'rav Rabbeinu Yoina, a fourth Mahalach, Pirish, the Lishna Basra, the Omar, Tani Chutz Mekigiti Nashim, Lumashanina Lemishum Dina de Mechuzadina. The Maskara of the Gemara that says you don't say Dina de Mechuzadina in such a case where you gift it over one to the other, that basically the Maskara is saying we don't have to recognize that Shtar. Lefishena Melach Mafkia Momen Yisrael, Itzachaverai, El Kozman Shuboloden Bar Koyishalahem. Hilkach. Ava bishasi saw shtar lechaver bar koishalem lohufka asadim namoicher aydei oisar shtar kozman shalbo bar koishalem. I'm reading it and then I'll explain. V'had the amar shmol mishundin and the mochazedina pirusha she'en amoicher yachal lagzam. Okay. Bottom line is what he's saying, and if you look in Basra, he's saying it more clearly, is that you only say dina the mochazedina when you are actually going to court and you're listening to the psak in court. So there you have to listen to the psak in court, but if I use a legal document, but I'm not actually going to court, I'm not taking it to court. I'm taking it to Beis Din. And now I want to take you to Beis Din using a legal shtar. The Beis Din doesn't have to recognize that. The point of Din and the Mechuz Adin is not every single thing which the court recognizes, the Beis Din has to recognize. The point is that we have to recognize the court.
If you're going to court.
Now, when is there a heter to go to court? It's a different issue. But the point is, but we have to recognize the court. So if you're going to go, if the king is going to take you to court with about taxes, you have to recognize that halachically as well. And anytime you're dealing with a non-Jew, that's going to be, the court is going to get involved. Yeah, but, says Rabbeinu Yoina, Stam, between two Yidden, the king is not getting involved in what's going on in every community. Don't get me involved in what's going on in every community, you know, between two Jews. That has nothing to do with me. That's, you guys work it out, and therefore, you don't have to, between the two of you.
The answer is just really explanation.
Right, in other words, the last two are really explaining the first shita.
Yeah.
The Baisim is not arguing.
No.
Dina demochus adina. It's just saying it doesn't apply here. It's the same with the Ramban. So dina demochus doesn't apply. Okay, so bottom line is that we explained today the reason for dina demochus adina. We said the Ran, we said the Rashbam. The Ran says it's because he owns the land. The Rashbam says because it was some sort of communal agreement. And we got into the sugya of whether a shtar, which is written in the court, Shtakinian, is it valid? And the Gemara ends up that it's not valid, and there's three shittas in the Rishonim, or four. Why is that? Is it because we don't hold the Dina Mechusa at all in Maskana? But the other three shittas in the Rishonim said we do hold of it, but either it's talking about a case that there is no Dina Mechusa about it, or Dina Mechusa only applies when there's Toelis of the Melech, he doesn't care about the Shtar Matana, or Dina Mechusa only applies when you're taking it to court, but not between two Jews in their backyard, the king is not getting involved, and you don't have to recognize it there. Okay, so Mishnah Shem next week, we'll continue the other sugyas, and we'll get some more applications.
Anybody?